We're going to be looking this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You have it printed in your bulletins. I want to give you a little bit of the setting before we get into it. And so let's just briefly look at that before we pray in regards to the sermon. Corinth in 50 AD was a very competitive, very status-oriented society. The Olympics were held in Corinth many times. It was a very racy culture, almost had like a, we would think of it almost like a Vegas feel to it in terms of the raciness of it. And you can just imagine what the church was like that Paul was writing to. It's a young church. It was a messy church. You can even see in 1 Corinthians 6 that there were people converting into this church from some pretty wild backgrounds. Corinth had the temple of Aphrodite overlooking it, where there were many prostitutes that engaged in ritual worship. And so you might have somebody who came to Christ who had formerly been a prostitute looking across in the congregation to somebody who had come to worship there in that way. You had people who had been drunks, former drunks who had come and felt maybe out of place. You had businessmen who might have dealt unscrupulously with others, maybe even in that same congregation. There were many opportunities for people to feel, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe I'm too poor to be part of this congregation. Maybe I've given up too much of my social status to be part of this congregation. So it was a place where people didn't always feel like they belonged, or they felt an independent streak, that they had to be on their own, they had to be independent. Paul's task was to bring these people together. This is not an unusual task in the church. You see this happen even in our own church communities, in our own city, where you might have people with a past that is uncomfortable, maybe secret. You don't want it out and revealed. We have wealthy and poor. If I could touch on a nerve, we might have Democrats and Republicans worshiping together. Imagine it. We might have public school students and private school students and homeschool students. Church, even in our day, is an aggregation of very different people who all belong to each other, even though they're individuals, in unity because of the power of the Holy Spirit in each one of us, changing us, bringing us together, and giving us a mission. That's what Paul is talking about in this passage. Will you please join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we are all broken, fallen people, and I see my own inability, my own fallenness. I cannot bring your word to this congregation without your Holy Spirit's help. And so I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would come and be in these words. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be in each member of this congregation to hear the words that they need to hear, and to eliminate those words which should not be heard. And I pray that you would speak to us this morning despite the fallen condition that we find ourselves in, because you are great and you are mighty and you conquered sin, and we have the victory through you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 points in this section, and let me read it to you very quickly. That was a joke. A lot of verses here. Sometimes I think it's very good, instead of looking at a small section of Scripture, to look at the breadth of Scripture. This particular section is kind of cool because it starts out with a list of gifts. There's a list of gifts on one side, a list of gifts on the other side, and in the middle it talks about body life. The list of gifts are different in places. I think when Paul says at the beginning of this chapter that what he really wants to do is to tell them about gifts, and then he doesn't really go into depth with any of the gifts. What he's really saying is, I don't want you to be ignorant about these gifts. They are for the building up of the body. And that was his point, and that's what we're going to focus in on this morning. Verse 4 of chapter 12. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities. But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What a beautiful passage this is. Do you hear the heart of Paul as he speaks to this diverse, fallen, messy, young congregation? Let's look at it. First of all, in the context of the division between the two things that we need to be. The first thing that we need to be in this passage is different. If you look at this passage, the church is required to have different people in it. Think about what heaven is going to be like. Who will be there? Every tribe, every nation, a variety. Think of God's creation. Every person with a different fingerprint. Every person with a different DNA. We were made to be different. God loves different. He loves the variety of it. The church is meant to be different. In fact, this word for different here means variety. It can even mean division. God has put little divisions between us in how we are gifted. Each one gifted a little bit different. We are different parts of the body. In verse 12, many members. In verse 20, many parts. Why? By God's appointment. In verse 11 and in verse 18. Look at verse 11. God who apportions each one individually as he wills. In verse 18, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. He wants us to have these differences. And in fact, we can look at this and we can see that it even seems that we have different statuses. And I don't mean statuses in higher and lower, but different types, including those who seem to be weaker in verse 22. And we see not only weaker, but indispensable. In verse 23, those we think less honorable, and yet who receive the greater honor. And even those unpresentable, the end of verse 23. Here's what Paul wanted the Corinthians to know and what I want you to know. If you feel weaker, if you feel not as honorable, if you feel unpresentable, you belong. You belong to this congregation. You belong to the body of Christ. Not only do you belong, indispensable. Is that good news? Is that not grace that we can know that we belong even in those difficult perceptions of ourselves? But not only should the church be diverse, the church needs to be united. We're supposed to be one body. Why? In verse 7, we see why. We see that it's for the common good, for each other. We're different for each other. Look at verse 25, where it talks about having the same care for one another. And then we see that word in English again, that there be no division. Behind the text, what Paul is saying is not the same thing he said about a division between gifts. In this section, when he's talking about what we see as the word division, he's talking about a tearing. The word is schismata. And I was thinking, how can I describe this word? It's not really schism. It's kind of like schism. It's not really like a scissors where you're cut. It's like a tear. It's like a piece of clothing torn off. Let there be no tearing in the fabric of God's church. It's painful. It's wrong. It leaves jagged edges. Let there be no tearing. We suffer together in verse 26. And again, in verse 22, I want to point this out. Indispensable to one another. We belong to each other. We're a body. Look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Near my home in St. Louis is a park, Lemur Sculpture Park. And at that park is a giant eyeball sculpture. It's, I don't know how big, it's twice as big as me. It's probably a little bit more, probably 20 feet, I would guess, maybe 15. It's huge. This huge bloodshot eyeball. And you stand there and look at it, and one word runs through my mind. Blink! And if you go around to the back, you know what's in the back? It's the optic nerve hanging there, attached to nothing. I mean, if that was a real eye, thank God it's not a real eye. If that was a real eye, it couldn't see. It's not hooked up to anything. When Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, he intended that same laughter from the Corinthians that you just felt. It's goofy. If the foot said, I'm not a part of the body, what does a foot do? It walks. Good luck. We need each other. We are indispensable to one another, but we're to be unified together as one body. Verse 20, many parts, yet one body. And if I could skip past verse 26 just for a second, in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. How does this play out? How does this play out in normal life? In a practical situation. So far, we've just been talking about theories pretty much. I'd like to tell you a story about South Division High School in Milwaukee. South Division High School has long been known as the worst high school in terms of violence in the Milwaukee public school system. They have 12 security guards hired to be on campus. There are two Milwaukee police officers that reside on campus. They have a lockdown twice a day, a school lockdown twice a day, every school day. How does the body of Christ speak into that? Well, using diversity, he took a retired, white, Republican businessman from the suburbs, two black Democrat pastors from the city, another black woman who is a Milwaukee public school administrator, and he brought them together to form the PAPAS program. PAPAS stands for Pastors as Partners Adopting Schools. Some of you may know about the Tony Evans. Tony Evans is a pastor, and he has a program for adopting schools called Oneness. Well, this was very similar to that. And the MPS allowed these four people to come in and to pray inside and around South Division High School. The principal of South Division happens to be a believer. And so they started to pray, and they wanted to get pastors involved. And they worked on that. And what happened? Not enough volunteers came forward, so they couldn't start the program. Now, anywhere else, this would seem like a failure. But there's more to the story. They were allowed to pray next to the trophy case at South Division where most of the fights broke out. And they did. And they kept praying. And you'll have to hold on a minute before I tell you the rest of that story. But suffice it to say that despite our sin, church is messy, sinful people by the Spirit of God can unite together. Different people by the Spirit of God can unite together and accomplish things. And we see this even in this passage. How is it possible to be both diverse and united? The source in verses 4 to 6. Do you see this rhythm? The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. I was talking with a PhD in historical theology at St. Louis University. Now, I don't know who would go after a PhD in historical theology. Well, you know he has to be a Presbyterian, right? This Presbyterian pastor and PhD said to me, after studying the theology through the ages and to the present, the fundamental Presbyterian sin is that we don't believe we have the deity living inside us. And it took me back to, I felt like, what am I listening to, Oprah here? But he's right. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you, each one of you who have received Christ. He lives in you. Is that awesome? Is that earth-shaking or not? Look at verse 6. In everyone. Look at verse 7. Given to each. If you are a member of the family of God, if you have said, Jesus is Lord, and he has risen from the dead, like it says in Romans 10:9, if you have called on the name of the Lord, the deity lives in you. And I'm going to keep saying it that way because our Presbyterian hearts fade when we think of Holy Spirit. We don't think of that as deity all the time. At least I don't. Maybe it's my own sin. But is that true? We kind of, okay, I have the Holy Spirit, and it's nonchalant. The deity lives in you. Making these things happen, uniting diverse gifts into one body. In one Spirit, in verse 13, in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slave or free, and we were made to drink of one Spirit. I love when it says, and you were made to drink. That's just one word there. Paul's writing just one word, and it's a passive. It means that it's something that has happened in the past, and it's done. You didn't put the Spirit in you. God put the Spirit in you, and it's a done deal. Do you want to hear the rest of the South Division story? It's an exciting one. Of course, God doesn't stop at a retired white suburban Republican or two women serving as black pastors in the city or a Democrat MPS administrator. Instead, he had to bring one more person to the team, an immigrant from the UK. A woman who is able to lead a whole group of suburban and city folks to South Division. The South Division principal then held an assembly where these people gathered and said, all right, for 30 minutes we're going to continue this assembly, but we're going to be praying for you. So any of you students that want to leave may leave now. Not one student left. And they were prayed for in that public school. Can you believe that? These folks started to become trusted and loved by the students, this diverse, strange body of Christ that came to that school. they started sitting in for absent parents when it came time to review report cards. Why did I get a U? Why didn't I get a C or complete? I think it's S for satisfactory, probably. They held a teacher appreciation lunch in which one teacher broke down and cried. She had put the pictures of every South Division student who had been murdered, shot, on her wall in her office, and she said, "No one has ever come to me to thank me for the work that I do or to pray for our students." In tears. This summer, youth from all over the nation came into South Division and started drywalling and painting and helping shape up this school. In fact, word spread to three other high schools, Bradley Tech, Vincent, and Washington. There are now teams of the body of Christ working in those schools. South Division, by the way, is no longer at the bottom of the pack because change is happening there. Change in people's hearts. South Division held a conference for MPAS on why the change is happening in the school in South Division. And other principals came and said, "We want to be adopted by these Christians, by these people who pray in the hallways, not out loud." In fact, you saw them praying in the hallways, you probably wouldn't even know that they're praying. They're relying totally on the power of God to hear them as they pray silently through the hallways. 63 more schools have signed up for the program. And there's not enough Christians to fill it. How much more diverse do you think the body of Christ will get as it begins to address that need? The program is, in a way, in the same place it was when there was just the four. But God is doing a work. Because despite our sinfulness and our brokenness, sin that divides us, our different gifting that should be uniting us, and oftentimes does, as it should, people come together when the Holy Spirit is at work, and it's not by our efforts as people. It's because the Holy Spirit of God is at work within the body of Christ, building up the church, bringing people to faith. If you want to think about it, it's almost like being a group of superheroes. You know, Batman was pretty broken. You don't think of Batman as broken, but he was orphaned at a young age. He's a loner, doesn't really have many friends. And then you've got Superman, he's also an orphan. He's an alien. Spider-Man was a weakling, can't get a girl. You've got the Hulk, now he deals with some anger problems. Iron Man is an egotist. But we see people like this coming together, and they form the Avengers or the Justice League or the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or the X-Men, all these broken people coming together with supernatural powers. Well, that's a fantasy, but you are not. You are supernaturally gifted and part of the body of Christ. That's your Justice League. That's your Avengers. You are gifted to accomplish a very difficult mission in a broken world, and it's exciting. Each one of you belongs. And we are on the mission to build up the body and to complete the mission of God. We see this morning even when we heard about the mission to feed my starving children this morning. 10 people working with other Christians. It'll be a mess. But we're the body. We're the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you didn't make us all exactly the same. Thank you that you love the variety that we are. Thank you that you put us into your family as a working body that accomplishes the task that you've given us. We praise you for this because we know it's your power. It's you who works through us to accomplish your purposes. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Let's now stand and together sing About and To the Spirit of God.